Good afternoon, campers. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. As is usually our tradition, on Thursday we have lots of your mail, and keep it coming. I do also want to mention to each and every one of you that we have a phone number, and you should tell your friends and tell your neighbors that the phone number to reach us...
Before you say that, why let me even get a goddamn coherent thought out of my mouth before I get interrupted?
Almost
here.
Up to speed.
I was thinking maybe it's good that we have a phone number, but wouldn't it be nice if we made it a little harder for them to find it? Like, maybe it's on the website, but hidden somewhere. That way we might raise the quality of the call.
I don't mean this sincerely, so don't take offense.
Yeah, okay, then.
But there are moments when I want to stab you in the eye with a pen cap.
Just the eye?
Yes. Here's our phone number, 718-506-1625. That's 718-506-1625. Uh-huh. Here's how it's been working. Most of our phone calls come from the Ustreamers. The Ustreamers, as I have learned throughout this process, are about 150 to 250 people a day.
Right.
That is a very, very teeny, in fact, it's a minuscule...
It's a small pond.
...group of people to really get our phone calls from. However, if you can plan in advance and you're from anywhere in the world, mm-hmm. you can plan on calling us, even if you're not listening live, between the hours of 11 and noon Eastern time, Monday through Friday. You know, we divert from that schedule once in a blue moon, but not very often.
Right.
So if you plan on doing that, you can call 718-506-1625. Now, I look across at Oscar.
If you feel you must.
You don't think I should even be spending 5 seconds.
This is your show.
I'm talking
this is
about
your show, Michael.
It's Michael. Okay, Oscar. Preparedness is key.
This is what we want from the caller.
Preparedness is key.
Keith. Yes.
Here's what the very first time.
Have a plan.
I'll explain my methodology.
Yes,
here.
Please.
When we first did phone calls.
Oh, it was awesome.
It was so exhilarating to take phone calls from Switzerland. Yes, Rob, preparedness is paramount.
It is.
You just keep holding them up and I'll keep saying them. The thing is, I was so thrilled to get calls from Japan and Switzerland
Ireland,
and Botswana and Ireland and all those calls. I really dug it, and then I realized we'll do it again next week. Well, then we got calls from Japan and Ireland and Botswana, same exact people. I think the fact that we're on in 149 countries around the world, I want to hear from you.
Yes.
So just remember that. That's 11 Eastern time till noon.
A little earlier on Thursday.
Preparedness is a foreign concept to our callers. Yeah, it is. It's kind of a spontaneous
So
thing.
What I'm trying to say is what you're saying, Mike, is more than valid.
Yeah, well,
but,
you know, I just like to, I like occasionally to take a phone call, and while I'm doing that, I'm going to hand mark my computer in a second and do that.
I would like to see the amount of effort put in by the caller that Mike just put into that plea.
That's right.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Here are our birthday greetings for the week, ladies and gentlemen.
Try to get them all.
A woman reaches her sexual peak at age 40. Mm-hmm. So congratulations to Steve Roberts, whose wife Karen just turned 40.
That's right.
He's been listening since WAVA. Thanks for putting that in the high. See, I read them the right way.
Yeah.
I know how to
I'm
read
I'm a copywriter.
He's been listening since WAVA, but they're both hooked on the show.
Right.
Sounds like Love Connection.
Amy Barnes
He's been.
Amy Barnes-Smith turned 26 on Monday.
Ooh.
Amy listens daily with her coworkers, Angel and Tammy, or could be on hell.
Does she work at Angel and Timmy? Does she work at Good Guys?
I'm not sure.
No.
Other hobbies include fighting crime for a guy on a speakerphone and pillow fights. Rob is an asshat, Oscar. Thank you very much.
You don't know how long it took him to write those 14 letters.
It's like Charlie's Angels.
Here's an interesting last name. Mike Plunars of Spokane, Washington, turned 29 on Tuesday.
Hello, I am Plunars.
He wants us to announce that he loves his wife with all his heart.
Right.
And that his boss, Jason, is a douchebag.
Hey, that's terrific.
That's great. LOL. That is a true LOL. That's fun. Longtime listener, Diane Kelly, turned... I grew up next to a Diane Kelly. The Kellys lived next door, and Diane was one of the sisters.
Did she help you escort you to manhood?
No, but we actually both were very curious about their dog, Joe, their Springer Spaniel,
Joe Kelly,
who pooped in the backyard and had eaten a box of crayons, and the poop was actually multicolored.
Oh, sure.
Wow.
Longtime listener Diane Kelly turned 38 yesterday. Her recently passed father introduced her to talk radio, and she's been with us through all the years. Thank you very much, and happy birthday, Diane.
Yeah.
David Pearson turns 30 today. That's from his sea wife, Nancy. Did she
describe herself as her choice of words?
That's from his sea wife, Nancy.
Uh-huh.
Nancy, by the way, would like to see us do a live podcast somewhere someday.
Huh.
be careful what you wish for.
That's right.
You know, when the people are so excited, sometimes they listen. You're laughing like Gisele Bündchen.
Thank you.
The people get so excited to play along and use our jargon. Do you think she knows what a sea wife is?
Yes,
or is she just,
I think she
is
does.
Is she just having fun?
And you say that because that particular letter is indicative of something that we've had personal experiences that most women find that
offensive.
Repugnant.
Well, there are some who dislike and some who think it's charming.
But thanks to us, more and more women are adopting it as their own.
Really?
Yes.
That's really?
Yeah, I'm seeing it.
It's a good thing.
It's weird. The lovely Anne Wright Weidart of Hotlanta is 32 today. Mm-hmm. There's also a birthday for Corey Johnson. Corey can only drink a gluten-free beer called Redbridge.
Oh, Redbridge sucks.
Wow, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, my Redbridge. Aunt and uncle have a gluten allergy, and they have to drink it. It's like molasses.
He wants to know if Rob could run out and get him some Redbridge beer. Sadly, Rob is not allowed to leave right now.
Oh. Well, then I'll just stay here.
Okay, I don't understand why Buzz wrote that.
Save you a trip.
Did you not want to do it?
I just thought we'd break up the routine a little.
But, you know, got it.
If he has time.
You get your wish, because that's funny.
I might go get beer if it had gluten in it.
Talk about a name from Gainesville, Virginia. Jason Eli turns 34 tomorrow. He's a relatively new listener who's already spreading the word. He would like us to do a meet and greet in Florida. I've done one of those before. Friday is also Eric Lauer's 17th birthday. He says this show helped him through the hardest part of his life, beating drug addiction. Wow,
yeah.
That's good news. The bad news, Eric, we're not real.
Oh, no.
I don't know what that means. Did I read that wrong?
No, you read it just right.
Okay.
Did I hear
I think it'll have the intended effect on Eric, because you see now...
Oh, so you're like we're a hallucination?
Well, I'm just messing with his head a little bit, yeah.
Buzz, I'm
you know, as much as you were funny with the sadly Rob's not allowed to leave right now, you missed with that one.
I'll bet Eric liked it.
I don't know. I know that Mike read it right. I'm just wondering if I heard it right.
There you go.
That's it.
And our letter of the week comes from Tony Shelter. He writes, Buzz, got a birthday request for you. My wife Erin turns 27 on February 13th. Uh-huh. Way back over 480 episodes ago, during episode 20, you pledged to take care of her while I was away.
Hey,
I've been home for 2 years. You can stop coming over now. Thanks, SD. Tony, let's start the show.
Okay.
You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over them mountains? Yeah, if coach would have put me in fourth quarter, we'd have been state champions, no doubt. No doubt in my mind. You better believe things would have been different. I'd have gone pro. In a heartbeat, I'd be making millions of dollars and living in a big old mansion somewhere. You know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate. Kip, I reckon you know a lot about cyberspace. You ever come across anything like time travel?
Easy. I've already looked into it for myself.
Right on.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Buzz Burbank, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his couch, here's Mike.
Live from the most powerful city on Earth, heard in 149 countries, more than 12 million times, this is America's most beloved podcast. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. We're at MikeOMaraShow.com. 718-506-1625. That is our number from the Cappy Pfeiffer Studios. This is Thursday, Feb 9, 2012.
Right.
And please, no flash photography. Our show today is brought to you by Netflix. Instantly watch unlimited TV episodes and movies with Netflix. You know about Netflix. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can explain this the right way. Netflix, the good people at Netflix, yes, said to Ronick yesterday that we really like what you've been doing, and we'll do a little more for you if you do a little more for us.
Right.
So, you know, we talk about Amazon all the time. We're going to talk about Netflix today. If you want to see a movie on Netflix, it's just $7.99 a month. And for a free trial, you can click their ad at our website. The free trial is what I want to tell you about.
30 days free.
It is free, and you help the show enormously.
Yes.
If we can get a gaggle of you in the next couple of weeks to go to Netflix through our website. It's just like Amazon does the same thing.
Right.
We've got Netflix users all over the studio. I've used it. Buzz has used it.
I use it.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. I have it on my smartphone. I have it on my iPad.
Still the gold standard, really, if you want to get a good movie. Yeah. And so check it out. A free trial. Click their ad on our website. If we can get a lot of you people to give that a whack, give it a try with no obligation, you help the show enormously. That's all I wanted to say. So,
thank you, Mike.
We thank Netflix. On the program today, we welcome the one, the only, the man with the apps, Todd Moore, who's
Tomo.
The co-host of Tech 411.
I heard there was bottomless champagne, so I'm here with my $5 coupon.
That's right. Fresh back from the land of douchebags in Phoenix, Arizona.
Nice.
Todd will be here to talk about apps, his new book, and anything else he wants to talk about. Also, we've got a TV review. Buzz and I, we didn't get to
right,
that yesterday.
Yeah, we should talk about that.
And I want to just get that out of the way. Did anybody get any snow? Did anybody get any snow at all?
There was a glazing on my grass.
Yeah, I got nothing.
That's so they did it again. They did it again.
Yeah, saw a couple of flakes.
After a year, we got sucked into the whole thing, and it's BS, and will we...
You couldn't even use your electric snow mover.
No, I wouldn't have used that.
Used a hairdryer.
I would have had to put that together. But thanks to the people at DR that sent that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful machine.
They sent that rusted unit from like their warehouse or something like that.
It's
did you see the rust on it?
No, I didn't know.
Check it out. It's got a little rust on it.
Probably happened in shipping.
Well, what it is, Mike, that's distressed.
Right.
It's like a leather jacket. You want it to look used. You don't want it brand new because you look like a doofus.
Also on the program today, JFK. Geez, this is
lots of tape in the audio vault of
all over the news.
And she's
flesh
still,
and bone.
You know what? For that a woman of that age, still relatively boxed.
Yeah, you know what?
Oh, yeah.
I thought
you know what
so
I mean?
Too.
Like a Helen Mirren thing going on.
In fact, I looked at that and I said, "What's she be about pushing 70 right
69,
now?"
69, right?
Mm-hmm. And
how old, Buzz?
69.
Yeah,
I would imagine,
boy.
I know.
I would imagine when she was at that 35 to 45 mark.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you saw pictures of her at the White House.
Diane Lanish.
No, yeah.
You saw pictures of her at the White House. I'd have her for a swim.
Yeah, I see. See, I looked at the White House, and she looked too young.
19.
She looked really way, way too young for me when she was at the White House.
Says the man with the wife that's almost 20 years younger than him.
Well, yeah, but my wife didn't look too young.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Same.
So meanwhile, we see like an Elvis side of JFK.
Exactly.
Go give me the young one, honey.
Okay, we talked about this yesterday, but we didn't dive into it. Rob Spiewak T-shirts. Can we manufacture some T-shirts, and can that dude that did the animation of Rob, I think, here's a challenge to him. It's not that I don't love Rob, but first of all, I don't want to expand Rob's ego any more than
we've
it
got
is.
Enough no, problems. Well,
first
with of all,
that. We've got enough problems.
No,
with
well, he's a you've, brand all his own.
You started out with a lie.
Yes.
You say it's not that I don't love Rob. It is that you don't love Rob.
Well, there's that.
Perhaps.
And you know what? I think we can be honest. I've come to terms with it. I've dealt with it for nearly a fifth of a century.
That's okay.
You don't love me.
I don't. So here the thing is, I think what I would love to have would be those type of what is that? What does that sound? What did you do, RJ? What button did you play? What did Mr. Attention Deficit Disorder during the first beginning?
Nothing,
you know
Mike.
What?
Nothing.
What?
I didn't F with anything.
All right. So anyway, what I'd like to do
it's like
is
like a rabid dog in the corner.
Oh, he bites back now, and
don't
I'm comfortable with that relationship. That's fine. I'd like to have, if this is possible, if this guy could pull this off.
Uh-huh.
Would there be any way that he could take our heads and position them in some sort
Mount
of
Rushmore?
Ye old no like
no,
ye old signing,
of, signing the
of the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll talk to him. I have his direct contact.
What I'm talking about, if those of you who have not been on Facebook and haven't seen this on our website, this is the most amazing photoshopped picture of Rob Spiewak with his long hair, and Rob is in a Ben Franklin ye olde 1700s
get
up.
Yeah.
So well
and
done.
It's a portrait, and it's
looked
got
real.
The whole portrait look to it.
Yeah.
It looks so phenomenal. We need to do this.
Here's
if we do this, you put this on a black T-shirt, and you got a winner.
I love it because if you do the declaration, because we sort of declared ourselves independent from radio.
Yes.
And we can
yes.
call ourselves the founding fathers of podcasts.
We sign our independence.
I like it. Yes.
We sign our independence from all things organized.
Yes.
Exactly.
The machine.
That's what we do. I think that
damn the man.
That would be terrific.
I
would
like
love
it.
To do that if
okay.
possible. I'm looking
yes.
at that. I still laugh out loud when I look at it. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. And to see everybody else in that. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the Declaration of Independence, but it could be some other form of artwork from the period.
Right.
Where, you know, where we're, you know, someone's perhaps a dandy.
Are you going to go all Gilbert Stewart on our ass?
What's Gilbert Stewart?
Gilbert Stewart is the guy that did a lot of those portraits of the presidents. Like the one of Washington where it's unfinished at the bottom.
All right.
Who knows this?
Hold on. The guy who?
People who
is
are.
Is there anyone? Here we. It seems he brings one every day.
A name so we've not heard.
Mr. I.
Okay. Allow me.
Because
let me just,
I still retain my meaningless history.
Nip it in the bud, Mike. I apologize once again, as always, for being culturally literate.
Did anyone help? Hold on. Let's just get a vote.
Okay.
Did anyone in this room know the Gilbert Stewart reference at all?
No.
Yeah, I did not know it.
No.
Mark, did you know it?
That's a pretty good jury, though.
I would like to ask Rob something.
Yeah, we're all big dopes. Like, I don't have a college degree either, muckluck.
Well, I mean, it's American. It's
you
pretty
asked,
good.
You
I didn't think that the Gilbert Stewart reference was cricket.
You asked.
And look at you. You've already expanded not only a knowledge of artists, but also your vocabulary.
Your vocabulary is
you know what's really great, Mike? It's someone that's not, it's easy
great,
to learn.
But you do but a whole show mute.
What's great? It's,
well, because he went all.
First 35 minute podcast.
Rob went all irrelevant on our asses.
You know, but here's the thing. He'll say that, and sometimes I'll just move by it.
Yeah.
But I have found that it is now a comedy goldmine to linger on.
Gilbert right. Stewart.
That's Gilbert, right. Please, now that you have the floor,
right.
Gilbert Stewart. Enlighten us. Gilbert
As
Stewart.
I recall, an American portrait artist from the early 1800s, late 1700s, and he did a lot of presidential portraits and portraits of our founding fathers that you would recognize.
Really?
Yes. Mm. Can you Google up Gilbert Stewart and see if you can come up with some of his... I'm sure he has a website.
Are you sure he Google wasn't the guy that was fired from the Aflac commercials for making jokes about a tsunami?
No, that's a different guy.
Not right. a Broadway
Gilbert
musical
Godfrey.
Composer.
Let's, as a matter of fact, we go right now
Gilbert
to the portrait. I was trying to get... John Adams to sit still while he was going to pose, but he kept farting. Gilbert, how many portraits have you done? Oh, I don't know. There might be hundreds of them. There might be thousands of them.
Gilbert Sullivan.
Gilbert Stewart. Did you find him?
Yeah, he is in fact a famous American portrait. Portraitist is what it's called. Portraitist.
Once again, a great jury. Oh my
God. He's a painter.
Sorry, portraitist.
A portraitist.
Yes, and his best known
picture
work...
painter.
He did picture faces.
He's got picture faces. He do picture faces.
General Washington, come on in and sit down, good.
And his best known work is the George Washington, that unfinished portrait, the famous one that's out there, and. He begun. That's what it says. I'm reading it from Wikipedia.
Is it because you're sitting in that corner?
Yes, it's all.
He's holding the computer at an angle.
Welcome to Slacker Corner.
I can't find my powdered wig.
Who are you?
I'm Gilbert Stewart, famous portraitist.
Do you paint pictures?
I paint pictures of famous people.
Duh. But it's the same image that you'll see on the dollar bill of George Washington.
Right.
Yeah, nice. That's my claim to fame.
Yeah. Do you get a percentage?
I wish I had a nickel for every nickel I had.
Who are you?
Yeah, I got a chance to meet him when I subbed up at 98
How
Rock.
How cool was that?
He was a cool guy.
Did he paint your picture?
Like so many of those comedians, he just was, I mean, that we'd go to commercial, and he goes into this, like,
shuts down,
almost
right?
like into a trance. Right. He's so meek and mellow. He would look like a little scared man when we would go into commercial.
You've met and dealt with a lot of famous comedians. Mm-hmm. Who of all of them is the most guilty of just turning it
of
off?
Being hot?
No, not that kind of guilt. But when you go to commercial and just sort of turning inward and turning off the comedy, who was the worst about that?
Leno.
Leno was the worst?
Leno, because Leno, I remember back in the day, Leno was just kind of a dick. Uh-huh. Leno was just... And Leno would turn it on so totally and then completely. Just, he didn't want to have anything to do with anybody. And I believe, like, especially with comedians, you know this guy.
Yes.
You get a comedian in the studio and you want to have that kind of... that rapport going a little bit, you know, and you know, you don't have to do it that way. And yeah, Leno was the biggest. A lot of comedians are mean, hateful people, but then you get an, you know, you get examples of the opposite, like a guy like a Kevin Meaney who couldn't be funnier on the show and nicer off the air. You know,
what an ironic name.
Kevin Meaney.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should be nice.
Yeah, he should be Kevin Nicey.
So anyway, where the hell were we? We'd Gilbert like to Stewart. Get those t-shirts done if we can.
Will
so
do.
Can you contact, reach out to that guy,
yes.
See if we can do that?
I can definitely do that. I was just in contact with him yesterday, so absolutely.
All right, before we get to Todd Moore, I do want to share an email that I received this morning from Mr. James Cerrito.
Oh, okay.
Jimmy.
Morning. I just listened to today's show. He's talking about yesterday's right. show. Well, it's a 25-hour ride, but you only live once.
Yeah.
I'm in if you're in. I would need to change the date of our golf tournament to July 31st from August 6th, which means we have to be serious about going. I got the okay from Mo, that's his wife,
that's
already.
Right.
Born to be wild. I'm Jimmy Cerrito.
I love Jimmy.
I got permission
Jimmy,
from my wife. I'm
I love
born
Jimmy.
To be wild.
I'm not sending you a text. I am not sending you an email. I am sending you a message. Jimmy, I'm all in.
Yay!
Wow. Sturgis? Wow.
That
Sturgis
is ballsy.
I guarantee the show works into it in that I will not miss shows.
Mm-hmm.
I will do shows from the road.
The Motel 8.
One of those hours a day will be. However, any way we can figure it out to work the show in would be fun as well.
In an effort to be safe, you really shouldn't do the show while you're riding.
No,
I'm in. I just have to, between now and August 6th, I will not ride the fat boy out there.
Wow.
My ass will not be able to handle that.
Yeah. You need a pillow.
I need something you know, that's going to be a little better for the highway travel.
Right.
I have to do that 25 hours. I'm going to assume that this is going to be about an 8 to 10 day trip.
I would think
that's
so.
That's what this is going to be.
If you really busted your ass, and even with the new seat, it might happen.
Right.
That's 3 days each way, because that would be about 8 hours and change each day.
I think 3 days each way is reasonable.
Right.
Can you do 8 hours?
I can do 8 hours broken up.
Yeah.
My 8 hours takes about 11.
Okay.
Because I like to. But if I'm on a, you know, so that, but I'm in. I got the clearance from my boss today.
Mm-hmm.
I called her. And
Will she ride bitch?
She might actually fly out to a certain location where I would pick her up to be a part of this. But I'm considering this to be a vacation time. We can do it. We can do it that way for the show and record it. Or I like the idea of doing the shows and then maybe you know we'll
it's
figure it out.
Great for the road. Yeah. Great for the road.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
This is where look. I am taking full advantage of being on a podcast and not on the radio anymore. I have been a slave to the man
and
to a schedule had to be in a studio. We all have for my entire life.
Right.
And those days are gone. I'm saying yes. The one thing I said I was going to do when it was going to be this podcast and this podcast alone, I was going to say yes to things.
Yes.
I was going to say yes to doing things
because
like
you can
auditioning
for the
Boston
life.
Red Sox.
Right.
I was going to say yes. And no word on that, everybody. So I'll let you know when I know about that. But this to me would be something that I just
don't pass
you know,
it up.
I want to do. I just got to figure out the way. We'll be talking to Lyndon. We'll talk to Lyndon.
Like rent a bike.
I was going to say you could rent a bike. Yeah. Is there a way to retrofit a better seat onto your current bike?
I need a lot of things that are required for a cruiser, and
my
bike is fine going from here down to Fredericksburg, but my bike as far as it's just not a. Across the country. A lot of guys with bigger balls than I do, you know, can do it, but I can't do it.
Do they have a seat cushion that's like a donut?
I don't need that. I just Gilbert Sullivan or whatever the hell your name is.
He's a very famous portrait painting man.
All right, when we come
back.
That's
awesome, though. That's awesome you're committing to that.
I am. What the hell?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Do it, man.
And that's just one of many major announcements. You find out about that thing with the thing?
Oh, the thing?
Not thing yet. No.
Is that a problem that you haven't found out about?
No.
That? Okay,
that's
good.
Just checking. She needs to comment on the thing. So
when we come back, we have an author in our midst. His name is Todd Moore. He's the co-host of Tech 411 with another personality.
That guy.
And we'll talk to Todd about his book, about his podcast, about his technical expertise, and about why all the women associated with the Mike O'Mara show want to bet him.
I'm really glad Carrie didn't know you were here today.
We'll be right back.
When I see your face, mellow as the month of
Well, folks, let me tell you something. Whether your team won or lost in the Super Bowl over the weekend, you likely have at least one regret from the end of the football season. Speaking of regrets, we're doing a regrets bonus show this week.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
it's going to be incredible. And one of your regrets, of course, is going overboard on the unhealthy game time snacks. Everybody does it.
Yeah.
Everybody gets the chicken wings. Everybody gets the chips. Everybody gets the fries, the chili,
holiday.
Everything.
Fried cheese.
We go out of our minds. It turns out that days like Super Bowl Sunday, when lots of people overeat, actually have a silver lining. As you nurse your food hangover the next day, you finally get that epiphany, that moment where you say, hey, that's it.
Right.
I got to really start now, and there's no better time to get involved with Weight Not. Get involved like Rob Spiewak has. Get involved like RJ Diaz has and myself. You have to do it. It's a wonderful program, and it's a healthy program as well. It'll take care of your maladies, a la Mr. Spiewak, who went off his BP medication.
I'm now off blood pressure medicine. 8 months ago, I was taking 2 pills a day, taking none now, and I haven't said this in a while. Do you know I've lost 12 bags of sugar?
12 bags of sugar.
You know, when you go to the store and you buy yourself a 5-pound bag of sugar and you say, God, I'd hate to have to carry this around. I lost 12 of them.
Right.
And you ran this by your doctor, and other Weight Not users have done the same, and their doctors have been impressed with the diet and say, hey, this makes sense. This really works.
My doctor said, oh, it's so good for you, Joe.
Okay.
855-WEIGHT-NOT. 855-934-4486 or weightnot.com. Unbelievable results you can believe in.
My favorite was Buzz saying, all right.
Okay. That'll be quite all right. All right. That. The book is I Bet It Everyone.
Yes.
Now, what is the book called? I've got it.
Yeah, Tap, Move, Shake.
Tap, Same Move, thing. Shake. It's Todd Moore's explanation on how to properly use a urinal.
That's right. I think you did a great job with the foreword, Mike.
It's good stuff. And Tap, Move, Shake is a wonderful, wonderful book about how you know, people that are actually into developing something like a computer game or an app, how they can actually use the system. I think that the vast majority of us, Todd, we see something like that and we say, you know, if I had a great idea for a computer game or a great idea for an app, you know, that's fine, but I'm screwed. There's just no way that I know what
to do. Is there a way to break into the system?
Does that book mean that it's accessible, that we can all get to it?
If I bought that book, if I had an idea, could I make an app?
I hope so. I mean, that's the goal of the book.
Way to commit.
Right. Absolutely.
That's the right answer.
You've been doing this. Like, your biggest app, we talk about it a lot, would be White Noise. Is that your biggest app ever?
Yes, it is.
And you had this idea that was your idea. Whenever I asked about White Noise, White Noise is an app where you have those wonderful sounds that you can play through your iPhone when you need to get to sleep, whether it be the soft rain or the gentle fan,
the whooshing sound,
you know, that type of thing. They had them in certain alarm clocks for a while, but you took that idea and said, I'll put this on an app, and this will be, and it's really, you know, been an overwhelmingly big selling app, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to take my bedroom fan with me on the road.
Right,
because
right.
You get used to sleeping to certain sounds, and I always use a fan, and it gets a little ridiculous in winter.
Right.
It's freezing.
Right.
And I would always have the fan on, so the concept really came from, I wonder if I could record that and loop it so that you couldn't tell, and it sounded like the real thing.
And, it, you know, relatively to hear you say it and to hear me talk about it, simple.
Yeah.
Simple concept, simple idea.
Yeah.
The trick to me is getting that from, hey, I got an idea, I'd like to record these things and loop them, and getting that into app form, which is, you have to have a certain...
Cat's purring.
Oh, the cat purring.
These are all the white.
How
which is your favorite white noise?
Sleep with that.
I use the brown noise.
I use brown noise,
joke.
Too.
Insert joke.
But I swear to God, when I use it, I use brown noise.
Yeah, I love it.
That's the one that I use. And how hard is it to get from that... And is that, did you go and seek help in getting that idea, or were you just a computer guy?
When I first,
brown noise.
Right.
I love that. It's putting me to sleep right now.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
When I first started, I had no idea really what I was doing, and I kind of plowed my way by trial and error into the App Store. And this was 3 years ago. There wasn't really any good information out there. So really the book for me was, this is what I wanted 3 years ago. And there's just a lot to know from how to first program, but not only that, there's more to just programming. You got to know how to create graphics, you know how to edit and record sounds, and once you have the finished product, how do you get it in the App Store? How do you deal with all the rejections? There's probably going to be
explain the whole take us right through the title. Tap, Move, Shake.
Well, those are all the gestures of your iPhone, whether you're tapping the screen, you're moving your finger across the screen, you're shaking. So those
when
are,
you want to redo the thing.
So different ways to control your game elements.
Let me ask you a question about, you read about, like, if you go back 100 years, there are people that said, well, America needs an easy way to write. So they
Is that me making that sound? Yes. Are you hearing that sound?
Yeah. Oh.
They invented a ballpoint pen.
I've got a shake or tap or something.
Some guy, or move. Some guy
just
went
press
out.
Pause on the sound.
And invented the paper clip.
I know that.
And they made
ass.
Money.
I know how to do that.
Do you think that in the world of business
fun to
now,
help, isn't it?
Is are apps the best way that you can invent something? There's four shows going on.
I'm sorry.
Is the app the best way to sort of break in and make a killing fast? Is that still a viable option for people? Because people have already invented pens and paper clips and Jell-O. I mean, all that stuff's there.
Yeah, it's very hard now with over 500,000 apps in the store to be noticed, to be found. And that's why the last chapter of the book is, once you publish it, how do you get the word out?
Right.
And that's a key part of it. Marketing is a big aspect. Just like with podcasts, it's the same thing with apps and books.
Sure.
How do you become discoverable? How do you be found? When people search, how do they find you?
And whether or not there's a hunger for it, like Words with Friends just got sucked up in the Scrabble app, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the biggest top-selling
people
apps.
People were ready
store.
For and waiting history. For that
was
app
it a
to
kid
come along.
That came, did a kid invent Angry Birds? Is there a kid?
That was a Finnish company. It was just a couple guys that wrote that. That's the biggest success story in the App Store. They're approaching probably a billion sales at this point, and they're already talking movie deals, and they already have merchandise. I mean, it's just an incredible story.
A great film.
Wow. I was thinking about that when I was writing my book, Sniff, Fart, and Quiver.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's about your years with CBS, isn't it?
You know what's interesting is Steve Wozniak, a co-founder of Apple.
Who wrote the foreword to Todd's book.
Hey,
it's amazing
how
he was able to do that.
A wonderful, nice man.
He's a very interesting dude. He is a wonderful guy. I've had the pleasure of interviewing him. But you can tell that he is just light years ahead of all of us, just the way he communicates with you. You know, he just pauses. You know what smart people do, I find? Smart, really, really smart people that I've interviewed.
Do they mention Gilbert Stuart?
No, they don't, Rob.
Oh.
They pause. They do the opposite of what DJs do because we are so trained to not have dead air.
Yes.
A real smart guy will really pause and think about an answer if you ask him a good question. Mm. And I really love that about Wazzy when I was interviewing him, that he would just say, and I'm like, oh my God, why is he waiting? And then he would give a very well thought out answer. And a lot of politicians do that as well. I think it's very, very cool. How did you hook up with Wozniak? God, that guy. I mean, he's all worth about, you know, $1 billion.
Yeah,
or
so
two.
It's funny, everyone asks me, how did you get him to write that foreword? And I have his phone number from his co-author, which was Gina Smith. So we were trying to hook up when we were in San Francisco, me and Wozniak. Didn't happen, but I ended up having beers with my book editor one night, and he mentioned to me, hey, why don't you see if you can get Woz to write it? And I said, sure. And we just texted him one little thing. Hey, you want to write the foreword? I show you how to write Pong in 20 lines of code. And within like 2 hours, he wrote back and just said yes, and it was like the best text message I ever.
What impressed? Wow. So did that? Did he was impressed with your speed? Is that why he wanted to write the four? There's always got to be a reason. The guy's got to be motivated.
Right.
The guy's got to be motivated to
write.
There's
a connection. There's a connection.
So he Wozniak, when he was first starting out, he did some work for Atari, and he kind of worked on the game, if you remember, Breakout, and it was kind of the one player game of Pong.
Right.
So, but he wrote a home version of Pong before Atari even released their home console. So he went into Atari and showed it and said, hey, I did this in 50 chips in the day everything was hardwired. You know, there was no programming.
Oh, he just got out of my depth right there. He did this in 50 chips. Potato?
Big Lays?
Eric Estrada?
So he did this. Let me see if I got it right. Hold on.
Okay.
Let me see if I got it right because this is my little quiz for Mikey here. He did it in a limited amount of memory.
He used the least amount of parts to build this thing.
But that's memory, isn't it? Or parts.
Yeah,
parts.
And there were no like microchips or anything. So literally he's hardwiring things together. So when I sent him an email, I sent him a chapter and I said, look, here's how to write the game of Pong, which he wrote, you know, when he was a young engineer. And I was like, this is how you can do it in just 20 lines of code on the iPhone.
Are you capable right here on the Mike O'Mara show of taking the most simple of games and telling people how you would be able to convert that into an app?
Yes, of course.
You could do it right now.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what game?
We're not going to throw a random game at him, but let's say the game was, I want to make it simple.
He can do
Air hockey.
Air hockey in the book, that's what we end up. We start with Pong in the book, and I show you how to do that in 20 lines of code.
All right, how do you do Pong in 20 lines? Well, I don't want to give away your stuff, but give people a taste.
Back in the 80s, right. Buzz did Pong in 20 lines.
That was 20 lines of coke.
How do you do an app? Because people might want to have, hey, I've got a great idea. I want to get rich. Right. What's the first thing you do when you say, I've got this game, or I've got a game that I've never seen an app for that I want to turn into an app?
Well, I mean, yeah. it's part graphics, it's part sounds, it's part using the tools that Apple give you to kind of accelerate that process.
Okay, and Apple does give you a tremendous amount of stuff, right?
It's amazing. So in the book, I show you a lot how to use Interface Builder, and we actually lay out all the game pieces, and that saves a lot of time. When I first started, I kind of brute forced my way through it, and I just had hundreds and hundreds of lines of code, and that's not good if you're a programmer. You want it to be small, you want it to be efficient, mm-hmm. and that's kind of what I show you in the book is how you can use the tools that Apple give you to kind of speed up and just really, you could build this Pong game in a day, so you can really build a lot.
So when you're talking about for a novice out there, lines mm-hmm. of code, that's the whole game.
That's
right?
A language.
That's the whole language of writing computer programming.
Correct.
Correct. Yes. Is lines of code, and it's numbers.
It's numbers, letters, symbols. It's words.
It's words.
It's a language, so you can kind of read it.
So would code be in a way like what the average schmo out there considers his password is your code, right? You're creating little symbols and numbers that tell you what to do. But I mean, does each line of code or does each digit, number, letter in the code, does that represent something that's universal?
Do you
understand that question?
Yeah, I think...
Where does everybody speak the same language of code?
You're kind of thinking, I think, in terms of like zeros and ones, kind of low level, but nowadays...
Yeah, I'm thinking like a dictionary an alphabet.
Right.
You
know? And so programming language is just a smaller subset of a dictionary. It is a lexicon. There are certain words you use to describe what you want.
May I make a statement right now? Mm-hmm. It's official. Mm-hmm. I have no chance.
I think you got it. Yes.
There's no way I could do any of this.
What you need to do is start now because you want to start early.
I kind of hate being a DJ. We'll have that on the regret show.
Start working.
He starts saying, he said lexicon. Let me explain what happened.
Yeah, he kind of lost me there.
Let me explain. When he said lexicon, this is Mike's brain. You could hear it everywhere.
Yeah, go on.
That's exactly what happened. And really, I'm not proud of that. And there are disc jockeys that would be screaming that they'd be so proud. Oh, you said lexicon. I shut down. I'm embarrassed
right,
of that.
Right,
I am embarrassed that
you don't think. You don't think if you started right now, you could do an app, get ready for summer.
By Sturgis.
My ass hurts and I'm in Sturgis. You could do a Jimmy Sturgis app.
I'll tell you where I think of apps, and I think of apps a lot. I think of apps a lot when
I
it
think
comes
of them
to,
a lot. Demone.
Well, for example, we've got a lot of websites out there. Yeah. We've got that have their own apps like TripAdvisor and mm-hmm. things like that.
Right.
I think of apps in how do you make them better and more practical. I think you've got a lot of apps that try to be all things to all people. And I think that one of the things that I like about the app world is that you can narrowcast a little bit.
Yes.
And you can create the perfect app for that person
given job.
That wants exactly what you want. Mm-hmm. So I think in terms of how they can serve me and all that. But as far as, writing it, you could really show me how to write it.
I don't know, Mike. Are you familiar with the lexicon?
The lexicon. the lexicon is the vocabulary,
right.
Correct?
The common language. Exactly.
Did I have that right?
Yes.
During
one of our Tech 411 shows, we actually...
Cough drop app.
Apologize. During one of our Tech 411 shows, Todd actually writes a soundboard within the hour of the show.
That's the most fascinating thing to me that I've heard in the whole app
now,
story
we're
ever.
Getting to, we're getting too inside even for our own good. A soundboard is really... A
sound effects machine.
It's a screen, and all of our stuff like crying.
I'm running one right now.
An icon on the screen.
I'm pressing a button right now that with a little sound that says pig on it. Uh-huh. That's what I'm talking about. Right. That Todd did this on an iPad, and you just move that in there, and it's amazing. How long does it take to do a good one?
To do a good app.
Yeah, to do a really good app.
I mean, it's going to take maybe up to 3 months to get the polish. That
right.
you need on it, yeah.
Right, to make it really user-friendly.
Can so I run some stuff off reliable. Of his soundboard?
Like I said,
soundboard?
This one was an hour long, this app that Rob has right there. Simple soundboard.
Okay, that's Applebee.
Maybe the volume is
The volume is probably
Yeah,
down.
Maybe the volume needs to come up a little bit.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
There's a series of icons or words on the screen.
It's just, it's like
you
a touch
tap,
screen.
Tap the one you want.
It's like
on,
you
what
would
is
see
that,
the...
What does that say on it when you're hitting that? What is that sound
this
you went
called...
to, which was unbelievably bad judgment? What was that sound? I mean, it's like a low-level, you know, cello hum. Why don't we play something
It was labeled bad judgment, parentheses, piss Mike off.
No, what did it say on it?
It was
Seriously.
Called drama. It's at the top of the list, okay? Here's the Apple
Dramatic music.
Okay, here you go. When you boot up an Apple computer.
Got that,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. The gong.
Here's one called Quiz Winner.
Now, don't do the T-Mos ones. That's the, I brought an arcade
quiz. Oh,
he brought
a quiz for us.
Yeah. Oh, right? Well, we're running out of time. Let's get right to it. All let's right. do the arcade quiz. Give it back to him. All right, get it out of his
right,
hand.
So,
get
no,
it out
Rob,
of his
you
hand.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
Okay, here is the first one. Are you ready for quiz question number one?
These
I'm
are
ready.
Old arcade games.
Okay.
We've all coin operated.
Okay, quiz number one.
Pac-Man.
Right.
No, Miss Pac-Man.
Miss Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Ooh. Face.
We'll accept that answer.
The fact that you said Pac-Man was incredibly bad judgment.
You're such a douchebag nerd. I swear to God, Pac-Man, it's the same friggin' sound.
That's right.
Is it, Todd?
It is.
It's pretty close.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Todd.
Once again, way to commit.
Thank you.
All right. Here's our second quiz
Attack
question.
Attack everybody.
He is.
I'm going to try Centipede.
Now, no, you know what?
That's a good guess,
it's
actually.
It's familiar, and Centipede might have been my guess, too, but I don't know.
Okay.
Anybody else?
No. Anybody? Anyone? Ferris? Anyone?
I know it's wrong.
RJ Q-Bert? Wants to weigh in.
Q-Bert. No, that's not Q-Bert. Okay.
I think you just said it.
I just said Dig Dug.
Dig
oh,
Dug.
Dig Dug.
Dig Dug.
Yeah.
Dig Dug. Dig Dug.
Yeah, solid game.
Don't remember that one.
All right, number three.
They make me ill.
I'll go for this.
Mike,
all right,
know,
go ahead, Buzz.
Mario Brothers?
Close.
Is it, no. What's,
is Donkey it? Kong?
Yes.
Way to go, RJ.
That's one. Nice.
Let's hear that again.
There's
now
a Mario brother in it.
Now
that's
that we
what
know what it is. Yeah, it is. That's great.
All right, what's the next
one?
Right,
number four. How do I stop it?
There's a close right here.
Okay, number four. Oh, I know this one.
One of my favorites.
Galaga.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was the first game, I think, where you could dock two things so you could shoot two bullets at once. And that was the coolest
thing.
I loved
Galaga.
Galaga. And number five, our final one.
It's a tough one.
Mission Control?
No.
Is it Asteroids?
No.
Oh.
Spy Hunter?
Oh, no.
What
Robotron?
Is it,
this no. was the first Angry Birds.
Oh.
Mm.
Well, no wonder they're angry.
That is your hint.
Was it Pissed Off Bats?
No.
Anybody?
There was a buzzard.
He gave it
really
away.
Pissed off.
What was it?
It was Joust.
Joust.
Joust. Oh my God.
Good sounds.
Yeah. So then we have this quiz every once in a while
yeah.
on the Tech 411 show. We
it's
give away prizes.
Awesome.
So
which
thought you might enjoy that.
More broadcasting now.
Oh, and so speaking before we go to break here, speaking of games on my Xbox, I was sitting there playing Call of Duty. What's the most recent incarnation?
Modern Warfare
3.
Yes.
MW3. And I was has anybody ever had this experience? I'm playing Modern Warfare 3, and I guess I went to the second to last level like a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there.
You're
and
stuck
so
there?
Last night, there's just nothing on, and I fire up MW3, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to have a nice little evening of playing MW3, and
get
I get through
the
like the last 4 minutes, and it's over. And they start running the credits, and it was this feeling of disappointment.
I see it. You know what?
It's terrible.
I'm not a gamer, but I see it in my son. We spend $70 to get him a game.
Yes.
And I'll see him just moping around. I say, what's the matter? He says, yeah, I finished it.
Yep.
It's like, but you want to be able to finish the game.
We got
to
get
know?
Online.
Here's
we got to get online.
Here's you know, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I think that's where
that's how they steal
I
your soul,
that
Mike.
They do steal my soul that way. But I finished this, and there's just no way. I put the... I get in there and I put a campaign. I participate in the campaign and I put it on the lowest level.
Yeah,
like
for Obama.
Recruit level.
Why not?
And then I do. So once I'm through that, right?
Yes.
I've done everything that game can offer, right?
Unless you want to go to a harder level.
Yeah. But that, but it'd
Why
be the
would
same.
You do that? Why
it'd
would
be
you
the
do
same
that?
Stuff.
I don't like even dealing with
that.
Yeah, you go online.
It's what?
I said bull.
I know you did.
You can actually play with Todd because he plays
Twice.
Online all the time as well.
Ooh.
I go over his house and he's actually playing online.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your favorite video game? What video game are you playing right
yes.
now? What is hot?
Oh, Dig Dug?
Gosh.
Was it Dig Dug?
I'm playing Battlefield 3.
Battlefield 3?
Yeah, yeah,
very great. What about you, Oscar? What are you playing right now?
You know what? I'm FIFA. FIFA 2012.
The soccer?
It's pretty damn cool.
Very South American of you. Uh-huh. Very much so.
Perpetuating stereotypes.
Buzz, what one are you playing right now?
Words with Friends.
Words with Friends? Like yes. Alec Baldwin? Right. Rob Spiewak?
Bejeweled Blitz.
Bejeweled.
I'm just making that up.
We will take a break. Todd, the book, once again, Oscar, give him a good plug
for the
book.
Tap, Move, Shake, available on Amazon. You can buy it through MichaelMaraShow.com. You can also buy it on the Kindle Fire. You can buy it anywhere you want a book. There's a digital version and there's a hard copy version. Cool.
And hopefully Todd Moore will be making a lot of people millionaires when they come up with the next big game, which really you never know when it's going to crop up.
I hope that happens.
What really made me laugh on Tech 411, and they were actually giving away a copy of the book, and Oscar said, now where will you mail it? And Todd says, oh no, they get a digital copy. We're not going to waste a printed one on a giveaway.
That's so true.
We'll take a break. Come right back with the audio vault right after this. Welcome back to MikeOMaraShow.com. It's time for the Douchebag Nerds Magic Audio Vault.
Oh, yeah. Watch all the listeners disappear. That's the magic.
Brought to you by Strine Creative. You saw what Gabe Strine did for us. He does wonderful animation, and we laugh so much at his work. Now you can put him and his team to work on all of your graphic designs. Strine Creative is not just round-headed DJs. No, he does more than that. It's branding and marketing for print, the web, and, yes, animation. Let Strine Creative, you've seen our animated features that we run on the Mike O'Mara Show, let them help your ideas come alive. StrineCreative.com, or click their eye-catching ad on our website. That's my brain opening back up, and let's see what we've got for the audio vault today, Rob.
Do you remember, Mike, at the beginning of calendar year 2011, you issued a credo. You issued something that you would like to keep as a rule in our show. You said, Rob, no Will Ferrell and no Moody Blues.
I remember the Moody Blues, and probably the same thing about Will Ferrell.
And I've done my best to stick to that, but this came to me from about 80 different listeners, 80 different corners, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to hear it or not. Will Ferrell is in New Orleans shooting a movie, and he was brought out to introduce the Chicago Bulls as they played the Hornets last night.
I'd love to hear it.
Okay.
Is he?
And you know what?
Is it bad?
It's so magnificently not funny to me.
Yeah.
And because
you and
he's
I,
Will
you and
Ferrell,
I totally agree about Will Ferrell.
And because he is Will Ferrell, it gets on every corner. Everyone's covering it. It was on the Today Show today, and it's just so lazy.
I heard news anchors rollicking over this earlier this morning.
Get ready to rollick, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, I hope you're right. I hope it doesn't have any funny in it.
You be the judge.
You be the judge, Mike.
At forward, number 5, he still lives with his mother, Carlos Boozer. At forward, number 9, he collects rare birds and has a pet dolphin named Chachi. Luol Deng. At center, number 13, he's
Stop
a
it right there. I am sorry, but when you're talking about professional athletes and you're saying he lives with his mother, that makes me laugh a little bit. I know. And it's been written for him, though.
Of course.
It's been written for him.
It is. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is really rollicking.
It's really awesome. Right.
Yeah, it is.
Horrible
awesome.
Dancer, Joakim Noah.
A horrible dancer.
He once ate 20 hot dogs in an hour. Ronnie Brewer. Edgar, number 1, his favorite movie is The Notebook. Derek Rose.
Not great.
But Rob's right. Rob's right, though. Potential to be
amazing,
like Earth Shadow. Like sit in a room for an hour and a half and really write something.
You don't need an hour and a half. He doesn't do it.
His favorite movie is The Notebook.
He could have written like at number 5, or he's got 12 paternity suits against him. Yes. Jalen Rose.
Yeah, exactly. And he was probably being careful.
Anyone in this room could have written that funnier in the time it took to listen to it. Right.
Do you know who I would give you as the anti-Ferrell?
Who
is Ricky Gervais?
Yeah.
I think Ricky Gervais is the
smart.
Other. Because he's smart and he really takes time to make say funny things.
Okay, right. I hope that we can play another Will Ferrell tape in about 13 months. So stay tuned for that. Mike, I hate to be the one to bring you bad news.
Oh, I see this.
This is sad.
What's the news?
Okay. Actor Gary Busey says he's bankrupt. According to Chapter 7 documents filed, the 67-year-old has $50,000 in assets and up to $1 million in debt.
Wow.
Busey.
Fail.
And we ask Gary Busey to comment on his bankruptcy. Oh,
there's two things you never wanted to do: pet a burning dog and fry bacon naked.
he tends to say that about everything.
I can't understand how he doesn't have any money left.
How do you feel right now, especially with the fact that they're repealing No Child Left Behind in some states now?
Yes,
how do you feel about the state of education, Mike?
I think it's where it's always been.
All right.
It's a big bowl of crap.
Let's go to Olympia, Washington, where a high school reporter interviewed high school students for a documentary he was doing as a project.
How nice.
And I'd like you to hear some of the answers that he cobbled together and put on YouTube. Here's part one about the borders.
Can you name all of the countries that border the United States? South America.
Mexico.
Boom. One.
Mexico.
South America. Mexico and South America.
America. Mexico and Canada.
There's too many.
There's too many?
Too many.
Jesus. Canada? That's a state. Never mind.
Canada's a state. Yeah, these are high schoolers, Mike.
That's tragedy. I mean,
it gets more tragic when we ask them about the United States flag.
How many stars are on the flag?
51.
51? Why is that?
51 states.
52. Why? There's one for every state. 52 states. 51 states. And how many stars are on the flag?
51.
Why are they saying, does anyone know why they're saying 51?
No. Puerto Rico, baby.
Maybe
Puerto
they're calling PR, exactly.
Or they could
PR.
Be counting the district.
D.C.
You know, you wonder why this is happening in Olympia, Washington, and why these girls in New York are having they're like Tourette's outbreaks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, what is happening?
It's easy. It's easy. I mean, really.
I think those are unrelated.
It hasn't changed.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it's always something.
Yeah.
Would you like to know who it began with? I believe it began with my generation. I was a public school kid, and I really do believe that. That's when things just, you know, I got by.
But as a public school student,
I got by.
Student,
I don't know how many people got by before I did, but I know I got by. I just cruised.
As a public school student, did you know who was vice president?
At the time?
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have or would not have. I'm not sure. I mean, I was interested in politics.
Let's see how things are going in the Pacific Northwest when it comes to the vice president.
Do you know the vice president of the United States?
Definitely not.
George Bush.
George Bush is the vice president?
The bald guy. He was gonna run for it, and he has Clinton, right?
Bill Clinton, what? The vice president, Bill Clinton.
Yeah, Bill Clinton.
Yes,
no
you
way.
Did.
Good God.
Correcto. Sarah Palin.
Yeah, I don't think that's right either.
I don't think it is either.
I don't know who it is. It's somebody.
Jesus.
Bin Laden.
Bin Laden.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Save us.
That
somebody
is
save
terrifying.
Us.
Now,
and they'll be voting soon.
But I see, I don't think we, as we sit here and listen to high school kids, I don't think we're in any position to sit there and go, oh, listen to those kids. Because I think it was just as bad when we were going to high
school. I don't
know.
I just know that Bin Laden hasn't been vice president for 4 years. So,
but
mean,
see,
trying to get current.
You have a B and you have an N.
That's true.
And you have an I in Biden.
That's right.
So that's what they were doing there. I'm just trying to defend the
kids.
Yeah,
I mean, what are you going to do?
I'm always for the kids.
Beat up
the
kids.
And you know what? You're down with the kids, Mike.
I'm down with the kids. My father said it. My father said it back in the 1960s. This is the dumbing of America. We have progressively gotten dumber. Exponentially, every single
all
year.
All we care about is apps.
We care.
Write a book. Host another podcast.
Right now, I don't talk necessarily about the state of education, but what I talk about on this show and what we talk about on this show is the state of pop culture.
Right.
And pop culture, in my humble opinion, has never been more bankrupt than it is right now.
Yeah,
it's,
we
and
don't
it's overtaken
have
everything.
We, our movies, in our films, in our music. In our star power, as far as people that we get excited about, it just doesn't exist.
I think the slide began in the 70s. I began to see it then. But in the 60s, when I was in school, I do think it was better. And I think your geographical location makes a difference. I think I was lucky enough to be raised in a good public school system, and I don't feel cheated.
Geography was easier when Buzz was in school because we hadn't discovered all the countries.
Well, there were only 48 stars.
If you want to watch a movie that to me symbolizes our American culture right now, watch a movie called Drive with Gosling.
Okay.
And watch this movie, and this guy, you know, and I was thoroughly entertained by it.
Sure.
I have to plead guilty. I watched the thing, but this guy is as monosyllabic as any character I have ever seen in any movie ever. And hello, Beluga.
Hey, look who's
just come in, Beluga.
Well, Beluga was across
no
the hall taping a special.
Yeah, but so you didn't like the movie? I heard it was good.
He doesn't say two words.
Oh, okay.
And he gets the girl because he clicks and he grunts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and
did
I said,
take
this,
a shirt
is,
off?
This is what he's just there going,
good shape.
Toothpick dare. drive fast. Kick guy in head, it really, he's a caveman.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Caveman. And he's the hero. Mm-hmm. He's the hero of this movie. Oh, and it's just, I don't know. It's
speaking
just,
you know,
it's crazy. I just wanted to finish
up.
Okay,
sorry.
When I watched the trailers for the movies when I took my daughters to see Chronicle the other night, it's just, that's all it is mm-hmm. cars flipping upside down.
Flipping cars.
That's all it is. It's just we're not writing anymore. It just scares me. I get worried about the whole thing.
Well, you mentioned Ryan Gosling getting the girl. Do you want to talk about another guy who got the girl?
Who's that?
President Kennedy.
Oh, my God.
Mimi Alford.
Yeah. All I wrote is JFK G's.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy.
Spell
and
that right?
When I came downstairs today, Carrie said to me, she said, good morning. Do you think President Kennedy was a creep? I said, yeah, you know what? With this, he seems kind of creepy.
Yeah.
But although it does throw me a bit that this lady, Mimi Alford, is now coming out with this, and this is what she's saying. The reason she's writing it now is because of this. She didn't want to keep the secret anymore.
Most mornings when I woke up, I thought, I don't want to get up and write this book. I want to hide under the covers. And
what made you then get out from under the covers?
I think when you keep a secret and when you keep silent about something, you do it because you think it's keeping you safe, but in fact, it's deadly.
Do you think she was that dramatic when she was boning JFK?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw this out there.
Okay.
Are there any corroborating witnesses?
Yes. Yes, there are. Okay. And in fact, part of the reason she wrote this book was that she had already been outed by other authors. And
a book came out like 3 years ago.
Her relationship with JFK has now been cited in a number of books, which is why she finally decided, since it's already out there and other people are telling their versions of the story, I'm going to tell my version of the story.
She's not that
so
rough
that's why
on
she,
him,
no,
really.
No, she isn't at all.
She actually says at one point, I don't mean to take away from your audio vault, but I found it telling that she says that I didn't feel like a call girl because Meredith asked her, did you feel like a call girl?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she says, no, because when we spent our time together, he was so kind to me and I felt like he cared about me.
What this is, and let me, pretty simple as to why this is wrong. This is the president of the United States behaving exactly like David Lee Roth or, you know, Tommy Lee would behave at a concert, sending their people out into the audience to get to get a girl. That's what they did. And you just don't do that as the president of the United States.
That being said,
we used to.
Let's have some of the gory details, like when he took her the first time.
The president came over to me and asked me if I'd like to take a tour of the second floor of the White House. And the last room that we went into was a bedroom. I learned later that it was Mrs. Kennedy's bedroom. I felt the president getting closer and closer to me, looked me right in the eyes, and he then put his hands on my shoulders and sort of guided me down to the edge of the bed, sort of the corner of the bed. And I think he may have even said to me, is this all right? I didn't really know what was about to happen. And then what did happen was I lost my virginity right there.
In Jackie's bedroom.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Stunning.
And, you know, I don't normally get a chance to play this song, Mike, but I'd like to before I play the next tape.
Well, here I am in my tubby again, and my tubby's all filled with water and nice fluffy suds.
Because he had rubber ducks.
Yes.
To wash
in
myself,
the pool, right?
Yeah. And I've got my nifty scrub brush.
Hold on, Ron. Let me just take this call from Sean from Vermont. Sean, you're on the Mike O'Mara Show. Hello. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good. How are you?
What can we do for you, Sean?
I'm there.
You're what?
Hello. I'm here. Are you guys there?
Yes, hi, we're there, Sean. I said, what can we do for you?
Well, I was hoping to say something about those girls with the Tourette's in New York.
Well, no. That's good to hope.
No, not going to let it
keep
happen.
Keep hope alive, Sean.
Dream.
There's
the experiment today. Thank you very much. He was on hold for 6 minutes. I thought it might be relevant to the audio. Yeah. Okay, he liked ducks.
He loved to play with rubber ducks. This sort of changed the way I thought about President Kennedy.
The president was very boyish and playful with me.
In her book, Mimi calls their sexual encounters varied and fun, describing the president as a sensualist who also enjoyed being completely silly, especially in the bathtub.
He had a collection of little yellow rubber ducks, and they were in the bathtub, and the rubber ducks became sort of part of the game.
All right, here's my question.
Yeah.
Did Jackie
just... They played hide the duck. I'm getting a picture of that. Jackie lived separately. Right, and, like completely separately from him.
And
didn't
naively.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, yeah, really, if the guy's got ducks,
right,
where he's bringing his FBs into the tub with him, you know, it's kind of a weird world.
All right, I think we'll hear a lot more about it, especially because they keep teasing. NBC's got their hooks in pretty deep on this one.
Yeah.
JFK's dark side.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. Mark,
I think Meredith might be a Kennedy hater, too, just my opinion.
I think
she's
nice
so into it.
Nice to have her back on TV, I thought.
Yeah, whatever.
Mark, did you watch Idol last night?
Just bits and pieces.
Did you see the girl fall?
Yes.
Okay, and Idol still knows how to do it. They had a contestant pass out and do a face plant off the stage.
Wow.
And they're not going to reveal her condition until tonight.
Oh, God.
But here is the face plant. Her
Semi-evil.
Name, 16-year-old, her name is Simone Black.
I'm sitting on the dock of the bay.
Not anymore.
Watching the tides roll away.
So why'd you choose that song?
I wanted to reach out to an older crowd, an older audience.
She's starting to teeter.
You're saying
a little.
That we're older?
No.
No.
Oh, dear.
Whoa.
Did she go off the stage?
Yes.
Yep.
Because they're in Hollywood now. And so it's a decent stage to fall off.
And that was the end of the show, more or less, right?
So a real cliffhanger.
I got to go. I got time for one more, Rob.
Oh, I just want to, before we go our closer, don't you remember a couple years ago when Steven Tyler fell off the stage?
I love the
Joe
scream.
Perry pushed him.
Yeah, he did. And we close with this. You know, it's getting close to election time. And, of course, the merchandising is starting. Have you bought any political candidate merchandise?
Not yet, but I'm going to have some stuff out in my lawn pretty soon.
Yeah, I think you're going to like this.
A condom company has launched a special line of Mitt Romney condoms. Yeah, the Romney condom is perfect for the lover who likes to constantly change his positions.
And that, Mike,
thank you.
That is your magic audio vault.
That's right. We'll take a break. Come back with Buzz and News right after this, everybody. Welcome back to MikeO'Mara'sShow.com. And the significance you're doing this for some reason.
Carole
right?
King's birthday.
Oh, Carole King's birthday.
One of my
today.
Favorite songwriters of all time.
I feel the earth move under my feet.
Wrote a lot of hits.
That's You're Locomotion. So Vain. Yeah. And this one is.
Carly Simon wrote You're So Vain. But this
You're So Vain. I always get Carole King and Carly Simon confused.
Jazzman.
Jazzman by Carole King. One piece of advice to Carole King.
Yeah.
I think it's time to stop performing.
Oh, dear.
I saw her recently on the Today Show, and it was just like, oh, my.
My advice to her, rhinoplasty.
Well, that's always been your advice.
Wow. Let's get the news on.
Even for people who don't need it.
Do you think I need to chew it? Really, the nose? Really?
Take it away, Buzz.
We're brought to you today by MC Ginsburg. Remember, with Valentine's Day coming, MC Ginsburg is unique jewelry of all kinds or any work of art you create just for him or her.
They're building Carole King a brass nose.
Don't buy the usual junk. If you need an object or dream up an object, contact MC Ginsburg. Visit mcginsburg.com or click their ad on our website. MC Ginsburg builds your imagination and romance.
Hey, who put the business cards on the seats? Just out of curiosity.
My guess is Carla.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just double checking that.
I think, you know, as far as who distributed them.
Yeah, I was just curious.
Because mine said on the other side, it said, I love you.
Thank you, Rob.
That's what mine said.
Very good. I'm sorry. I misread it. It said you're a dork.
That was just a dorky picture she was talking about.
That's right.
Hey.
But now it's Ben Franklin.
That's right. And no one would call him a dork.
Right. Last word for you. Go ahead. Rob and I would do this for like 45 minutes.
I know.
I would say something, and he would say something, and I would say something, and he would say, stop.
Hey, a big tip of the TMI. MOS cap today to Congress for hitting a new low, an all-time low. Approval of the job Congress is doing is now down to just 10%. Disapproval is at an all-time high, 86%. We were giving solid approval to Congress, believe it or not, a month after the 9/11 attacks. Approval for Congress a month after 9/11 was at 84%. Mm. They've managed to drop it 74 points since then. Good work, gentlemen.
Way to go, boys.
But a disapproval rating like that isn't just luck. You have to work for it. You have to earn it. And yesterday, House Republicans did so by thinking more about their friends on Wall Street than about fairness. Ironically, They were voting on a measure to try to improve the congressional image by outlawing insider trading by members of Congress. The measure included provisions to also keep Wall Street lobbyists out of the insider trading game, but House Republicans, over the objections of fellow Republicans and Democrats, voted to exempt lobbyists from insider trading rules. In other words, I think the bulk of both parties don't like this, but the Republicans in the House, as an individual group, voted to let the lobbyists off the hook.
Republicans
this.
In the House!
You know, if we had, if you were, if you had a job and you were your
privy to information,
your success rate or your, you know, your way of being ready, you were 10%, you know, 90%. You
right.
You were failing. You were getting 10 questions if out of 100 on every test.
Little PR.
You get to a point where you just don't give a rat's ass.
Maybe that's it.
Or, so I don't think they care.
They like to be bad boys.
You get fired.
Yeah, you get fired.
Yeah, I mean, like,
look, that comes up.
Yeah.
Wait, you know what? And about that subject, I've been wanting to say this anyway. We say this election after election. Well, we're going to vote the bums out. And people talk about that. But studies have shown over and over and over again, we go back into the polling places and we check the name that is familiar to us.
Well, we don't
we love
know.
The incumbent. We always have. Yeah. For 200 years, we've loved the incumbent.
Well, we think they're 51 stars in the flag.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's all related, folks.
Quoting one leading Republican, Charles Grassley of Iowa, who's on KCJJ on a fairly regular basis,
always
he said,
Grass with you.
And I quote, "The political intelligence industry will stay in the shadows just the way Wall Street likes it." He's not happy about this either. Mm-hmm. This year's Super Bowl could lead to a super measles outbreak. Indiana health officials say someone with measles was at the Super Bowl Village in downtown Indianapolis on February 3rd and could have exposed as many as 200,000 people to that highly infectious disease.
Charlie, you really should stay in the hotel.
Snow cone! Snow cone for you, snow cone for you, snow cone for you.
Where are you going today, Charlie?
I'm
going
to go down to the center of the village.
Yeah, do you have tickets for the game?
Nope, but no. I got measles.
No, you just flew into Indianapolis, huh?
I got measles, mumps, scabies.
Rubella?
Rubella.
Oh,
Charlie. Sick cough.
One of the symptoms.
Yes, sir.
Here, have some nachos.
All right.
Several cases have already turned up with symptoms including that cough you just heard.
Popcorn?
Sneeze. Fever.
It's Charlie's kettle corn with a big cowboy hat on.
Hey, do you want some of these after dinner mints? I got a bowl here.
Yum, yum.
Runny nose, red eyes, and rashes. Measles still kill nearly a quarter of a million people worldwide every year.
Grab some Charlie measles corn.
I think you've been around, Charlie, because there are other viral outbreaks to report today. The cruise ship Crown Princess is pulling into port in Florida today, 2 days ahead of schedule, after a second outbreak of gastrointestinal virus.
Jesus, that's it. I'm never going on one of those boats.
Princess Cruise.
I'm not doing it.
Princess Cruise.
Are you okay, Oscar?
Measles, Jesus.
it's going around.
Oh, it's Bolivian measles.
Princess Cruise Line says the ship will go through a 2-day sanitation before it sails again.
So disgusting.
Boy, are they going to need some Windex.
I was watching, I think, one of the behind the scenes on one of the largest cruise ships, and they were showing how they handle this when somebody gets the poops on one of these, and they just shut it down. They quarantine the person.
Wash
they keep them there.
And
they hose everything. I still wouldn't want to be on one of those.
You got to set that thing
You're
on prisoner. Fire.
That's right.
How
burn
much
it down.
Of a... I mean, really, you want to be in prison. You are officially in prison.
Yes, I don't know. You can get off pretty quick if they run it on some rocks.
Yes. Hey, you got to try the pasta.
Hey, Issa, so bad. The boat, she's a tilt to the left.
More than 170 passengers and crew members have been sickened by this common virus, which usually clears up without medical attention. And a cheerleading competition in near Seattle may be the source of an outbreak of gastrointestinal illness as well. Oh. So far, it struck 19 of the 52 cheerleading squads that went there to compete.
Well, listen, look where they, you know, when they do the pyramid, look where they sit.
Yeah, that's
they
right.
They sit on the hand.
Not this week, they're not.
Then they rub their eyes.
The culprit here appears to be cupcakes from the arena's cafe.
Gross.
Oh, man. At least it made weight.
You're kind of peep.
For Oscar, yeah.
Yeah, bring your own bucket.
Dr. House was right when he said everybody lies, and that includes doctors. A new survey says, of doctors, rather, has 55% of them admitting they have given patients a more positive diagnosis than the evidence reveals. One in five say they were careful not to admit a mistake for fear of a malpractice suit.
Jesus, that's scary.
Part of the world we live in. The governor of Washington about to sign a bill making her state the first in the nation to legalize gay marriage by popular vote. Washington state lawmakers have already okayed the bill, but opponents say they may take it to a vote of the people. And finally, from the home office in Florida, where they may have found a new way to deal with domestic violence cases. Listen up, Ron.
Okay, thank you,
This week, 47-year-old Joseph Bray of Plantation, Florida, was dragged into court for shoving his 39-year-old wife, Sonia, during an argument. She didn't wish him happy birthday, and he was pissed about that.
Mm-hmm.
The judge listened carefully to both sides and then sentenced Joe. He ordered Joe to get Sonia some flowers, to write her a card, and to take her to dinner at Red Lobster, and then bowling. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank you very much, Buzz.
You bet.
This guy's been waiting a little bit. We're going to end the show with a phone call here.
Good idea.
What can go wrong? Uh-oh.
Jared from Las Vegas, Nevada. Hello, Jared. What can we do for you?
I want to ask Rob if he can go to the store real quick and get tickets for Cats 2000 as well.
Did you hear any of that?
More calls tomorrow on the show.
That's 0-2 today.
Yeah.
You guys try to do better tomorrow. The bonus hour this week, regrets. All of our regrets.
Yeah.
There'll be tears. There'll be angst. And it might be a very sad show.
And
so you
want to
check that out. This
entertaining
some,
for them.
The entertaining, yes. Our misery will be your entertainment. We'll be back with another brand new one tomorrow. Thank you to Todd Moore.
Yeah.
Hey, so much, guys.
Always a pleasure, Todd. We will see you tomorrow, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Thank you.